Professor Dumbledore has granted me permission to start this little dueling club.
And with that, welcome to the Dueling Club, learning one spell at a time.
So welcome to the Dueling Club, episode 4. And we're going to be reviewing chapter 5, Diagon Alley, from Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. I don't know why I'm so, like... I'm, like, robotic.
Why are you subdued today? What is happening?
I don't know. Today's been a long day of editing and thinking a lot and stuff.
Yeah, I've had one of those days. I actually had a meeting at work where they talked about getting me to the next level. So I have to study for a test that I have on the 29th. And I'm still doing all of the podcast stuff. And I have to do stuff in the group. And I have to... I'm going to start an Instagram. Like, it's a thing at this point.
I just keep rereading the same 3 chapters in my book, and it's just tiring.
But I love those chapters.
No, they're good. Just my brain hurts.
Yeah, I mean, if you have to reread the same thing over and over again, sometimes it can get exhausting. Not Harry Potter, though.
No.
I'm just saying. I've read this chapter, like, a bajillion times.
But let me ask, if you read the first draft, how you think that would have looked? It would have been a ton of word repetition that I am currently facing because I like the word atop, though, what else? Thumping?
Slightly.
Slightly is such a good word. You I love it. Slightly. It's so good. But
it's okay. It's as much as I love so, literally, and just saying.
It's just it's a word you can throw into a sentence to add a little more of something to it.
Yes.
The door is ajar. The door is slightly ajar. Mm-hmm. It sort of, like, doesn't make sense because ajar already means slightly open.
Yes. But now you're even saying even less open?
Yeah, basically.
Yes.
Just like a infinitesimal amount. Yeah. But slightly is just spicy. It adds a little bit of spice to something. Okay. Why are we talking so much about slightly? So...
I don't know. And guys... We also have glasses of water and cough drops because we re-listened to our last podcast, and if you stuck with us through all of that coughing, you are champs. You are MVPs.
It was too much.
It really was. So hopefully that'll be over soon, and if it's not, we're sorry.
I get that, like, a big element of Harry Potter is the dichotomy of life and death. But, like, we can't die on the podcast about Harry Potter.
No, that would be really bad.
Yeah. So, chapter 5.
So, chapter 5.
Diagon Alley.
Diagon Alley. So, Harry wakes up the next morning and believes it was all just a dream. He keeps his eyes shut because he feels that when he opens his eyes, he'll be in his cupboard again. So, how sad is it that he feels like the possibility of something good might be just a dream? Like, he somehow doesn't deserve it.
Well, it might not even just be that. I mean, he just found out over the course of, like, what was it? Like, 5 minutes.
And you're so coughing the coughing begins. I'm sorry.
But everything is a lie, basically.
The cake is a lie.
Yes. But just that everything is a lie and that he is much more important than he's felt his entire life. Mm-hmm. Not just that it's a good thing, but something that's just incredible. That's how it seems to me.
Yeah. And the fact that he says back in his cupboard, he's already been moved up to the smallest bedroom.
So getting the room.
Yeah. So imagine he includes all of it. Getting the letters and having to escape the hut on the rock as part of something good. Maybe this is the first holiday or vacation that he's ever been on. Like, do you honestly think that the Dursleys, if they ever went away, that they would take Harry with them?
No, never. Why? Why would they spend the more money? They wouldn't even buy him new clothes.
Yeah. So, like, Mrs. Fig?
Oh, Mrs. Fig.
Oh, Mrs. Fig. But that's crazy. Like, what if he considers being sequestered in this hut on the rock as, like, first family vacation?
Yeah. We're going to Florida. No, not really, but...
No, we're going to a hut on a rock.
Yeah.
In a storm.
That's the vacation I want.
I know, right? So, in his half-asleep, eyes-still-closed state, he hears what he thinks is a loud knock, and he's like, oh no, it's Aunt Petunia. He gets up and he has Hagrid's heavy coat on him.
Well, it falls off of him at that point.
Yeah. He realizes it's an owl tapping on the window to be let in. And the owl delivers the paper and waits rather impatiently to be paid. He's pecking at Hagrid's coat.
Yeah, because he... Pay him.
Yeah. Well, this is the first time that Harry is introduced to wizard currency. And Hagrid actually says, pay him 5 knuts. Mm-hmm. And I want to point out that per Pottermore, it is pronounced knuts. Not nuts, with the K being silent. It is knuts.
I think knuts and Hermione are like the two words that people mispronounce the most.
3. Voldemort.
Well, who cares at that point? We're not trying to be French about it. We're not in France, so it makes sense that people pronounce every letter of the word. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense. By naming convention and by like words and language, Voldemort is right to us.
In the English language.
And that's why Hermione is odd to us and a lot of, well, not to me. I always, for some reason, thought it was Hermione and never really got that wrong. But I know a lot of people called her Hermione and stuff like that. Yeah, gross. Okay.
Yeah.
But it happens.
So again, we see that Hagrid has these endless pockets. I swear his pockets are like Mary Poppins' bag. He has bunches of keys, slug pellets, balls of string, peppermint humbugs, tea bags, and then Harry finds the knuts.
Yeah. But it makes sense that he has a bunch of keys because he's the
keeper of the keys.
So, slug pellets so he can get rid of slugs. So,
But I would think that the slug pellets are to feed the slugs.
It could be as well.
You never know.
Either or, but it makes sense both ways because slugs are annoying. Mm-hmm. But he loves animals, which we don't really know just yet, but he does.
Yes.
Balls of string, odd, peppermint humbugs, the hungers, and tea bags because thirsty boy. Mm-hmm. But it all makes sense to some extent.
Yeah. So we get back to Harry giving the money to the owl, puts it in the little pouch on his little leg, and then Harry says he feels like the happy balloon inside of him had got a puncture. He realizes he has no money, and he says the Dursleys aren't going to pay for anything involving his magical education. Hagrid reassures him that he has nothing to worry about. His parents left him money. They'll have to stop at Gringotts, though, which is the only wizard bank that's run by goblins. So, I mean, really, it's the only one in the UK, the only one in all of broader Europe. Are there branches in all of the major wizarding hubs? What is going on?
They don't mention any kind of bank in Fantastic Beasts, which is jumping super far. Well, technically not far ahead. Technically it's in the past.
Going in the past.
Back,
are you trying to go future. Back to the future?
I said the same thing. Anyway.
We're not related or anything. We're not friends or anything.
This is us grabbing more cough drops.
Yes. We're trying.
So, they never mention anything about America or North America or anything like that. They just say... They never mention money, really, at all.
Yeah.
So, but they have mentioned later on... It's not really a spoiler. It's just a little bit of information that they have Gringotts doing stuff in Egypt and stuff like that.
Right.
With the pyramids and whatever.
So I would think that there would be branches.
Thing. Yeah, there's a global thing of Gringotts. Like, it's a global franchise.
Like Wells Fargo has... Oh.
I suppose, yeah.
Okay. Well, they're more intra-continent in the United States. But whatever.
Yeah.
So we also find out about the first magical creatures other than wizards and owls that Harry hears about. And he's understandably shocked enough to drop a sausage.
I wouldn't have dropped a sausage.
I wouldn't have dropped a sausage either.
He never gets to eat.
Right?
Hold on to your food, boy.
I know.
Okay, continue.
And he's so cute. He thinks that because their house was destroyed, that his parents couldn't have left him anything.
I want you to look at your notes really quick.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, I mean, I wrote this while I was at work.
Leave you make me sad. She used the wrong there.
It happens every once in a while. Even Ravenclaws make grammatical errors. Okay, my bad.
That's why you just have to separate the contraction, and if it makes sense, then you're right. And if it doesn't, you're wrong.
I know, anyway, but whatever. That's how we'll talk about this later. Okay? Hagrid also needs to go to Gringotts on Hogwarts business, something that Dumbledore sent him on.
Top secret.
Yes. And he says that Dumbledore usually sends him to do important stuff for him, in which he includes fetching Harry and going to Gringotts. So is he referring to this time of fetching Harry or the last time 10 years ago as the important thing? Or both?
They're both important. I mean, one is to not necessarily save his life, but to do him a service. Because, I mean, if he's picked up by the Muggle police, that's another complicated thing. If he's picked up by the Wizarding police, another complicated thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's important. And to pick him up now is even more so important because...
Did you just say impotent?
If we're going to fight about words right now, I swear there. You need to
calm down. Sorry, go ahead.
And to pick him up now is important because, I mean, he hasn't gotten his letters. Something's going on.
Yeah, something's definitely going on.
Yeah.
So they leave the rock on the boat that Harry and the Dursleys used to get over there, even though Hagrid tells him that he flew there to get him. They're not allowed to really do any more magic while traveling. But again, it's like, no more magic for Hagrid, but then he uses magic to row the boat.
Well, what it was is, now that I've got you, I shouldn't use more magic, but don't tell people and they can make our trip a little faster.
Yeah.
Which I'm 100% okay with. Oh. So Hagrid reads the wizard newspaper, The Daily Prophet, and he finds out that there's a Ministry of Magic, which, again, surprises Harry, but there has to be some kind of governing body for a secret society embedded in another society because you have to maintain a sort of balance. So it makes sense. You can't go by standard law if you can do things that are almost beyond imagination.
Yeah.
There has to be a little more, a little something. And it's mentioned that people wanted Dumbledore to be Minister for Magic, but he refused multiple times, I think 3.
Yes.
So Cornelius Fudge gets the position, and he always looks for Dumbledore for advice. Looks to Dumbledore for advice.
Yeah, and I find this
pelting him with owls every morning.
Yes, and I find this super interesting because it totally has to make Fudge feel super awesome, right?
Oh, yeah, totally, for sure. Fudge is great. If only he wasn't a bungler, if ever there was one.
Yes.
Which, I love Hagrid so much. He drags whoever. He doesn't care.
No, he doesn't care.
Oh, I love it.
But he doesn't do it to be mean.
He's just honest.
He just does it because... Yeah, exactly. It just comes out.
Yeah. I love him. So, yeah, he goes on to explain what I just said, that, you know, the Ministry of Magic is there to keep the Muggles ignorant of the fact that there's wizards among them.
Because otherwise, they'd want magical answers for everything.
Which is exactly what he says when they're on... Well, no, he says it on the boat, right? I think he says... Yeah, he says on the boat. So, yeah, they're on their way to London, and Hagrid does his whole spiel about, you know, how Muggles have stuff, machines for everything and whatever, and how interesting it is, well, and how terrible it is as well. about how seats are too small and whatever, but I mean, bro, you're literally huge. You're like a giant.
He gets stuck in the ticket barrier. And he's on the train knitting this giant yellow
tarp-like thing.
I love that he knits. I knit. That's awesome.
Hagrid knits. Hashtag Hagrid knits.
That should be one of our things. I'm going to post a pattern of something yellow, and I'm totally going to put hashtag Hagrid knits.
I love it. So, London. Harry has never been to London. And, I mean, again, that goes to the Dursleys not wanting to pay anything for anything regarding him whatsoever.
Yeah, and remember in, was it chapter 2, I want to say, or 3, where the Dursleys go to London to get Dudley his Smeltings uniform, mm-hmm. and Harry has to stay with Mrs. Fig.
I'm not taking you.
Yeah. So, again, we see Harry's just always left out of everything.
Yep. So they take the underground to London. And like Jen said, Hagrid sticks out like a sore thumb. Too big, doesn't know how to manage muggle money, complains about everything, basically, which is fair. I mean, fair to him.
Yeah.
Nothing is giant accessible.
True. He's a big dude.
He's a big boy. So they finally get to the Leaky Cauldron, which I think he says that it's a famous place, right?
It does.
Yeah. That seems only visible to them. Everyone else, just their eyes slide from a building to the left of it to the right, or whichever direction you want to say, but yeah. They don't see it. Which is a cool thing, which we're going to mention in our movie review, which I think is only going to be one episode, because we're really only going to talk about the differences, yeah. for the most part. Is the sign, if you watch the movie again, the sign actually becomes visible the closer Hagrid and Harry get to it. Like, originally it's all black, and then you see details, yeah. of it.
Like, it's only visible to magical people.
Exactly. So it's pretty shabby and grubby looking. And then Tom, the bartender and owner, mm-hmm. of the Leaky Cauldron, greets Hagrid and asks him if he's going for the usual. But Hagrid tells him that he's on Hogwarts business and he has to get Harry, you know, to get his school things.
I think it's awesome that Tom immediately recognizes Harry. And that's when you see that Harry really is famous in the wizarding world.
Which for me is odd, because how did Tom, like, instantly recognize him?
I bet you he had, like, his hair parted a little bit so that they could see his scar.
Could be. It could be. That's the only reasonable thing, because...
Or maybe Tom knew James.
That's also fair, actually. Very fair. I never considered that.
So if Harry looks like his dad, he's like, oh, you look like James. You must be Harry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's other people who, you know, greet Harry because they're just so surprised and happy that he's there. Mm-hmm. Doris Crockford. One second. What's happening here?
Daedalus Diggle, who was in Chapter 1 and technically Chapter 2, but without being named.
But Harry remembers him, bowing to him in a shop.
And it's so cute. Daedalus Diggle is like, oh my god, he remembers me!
Yeah.
Like, he's starstruck.
Yeah. It's really heartwarming that these people who don't really know him are so nice to him, because he's never actually experienced anyone being nice to him. Because even at school, no one was really allowed to approach him, because if they did, well, they're going against Dudley's gang, and Dudley's gang doesn't mind bullying just about anyone.
Yeah.
So he never had anyone actually be nice to him.
Mm-hmm.
So these people are just super nice to him and super happy to see him, which is another rare thing for him, because no one is ever happy to see him, because he's just plain old Harry, quote unquote.
He's just Harry.
Yeah. But, and then the last person he meets is Professor Quirrell. The stuttering defense against the dark arts teacher, who is in Diagon Alley to pick up a book on vampires, which even mentioning it scares him.
How is someone who's so scared of his subject supposed to be an effective teacher?
I mean, I think for defense against the dark arts, it makes sense to have a little bit of that, a little bit, not to his extent,
mm-hmm.
but a little bit of that caution when it comes to dark arts, because is ever changing.
And it's some serious stuff.
Yeah. I mean,
like, you could die.
Easily.
Easily.
So let's keep going.
Yeah.
So they, after Doris Crockford goes in multiple times for handshakes, they finally break away from the crowd and they get to a small walled courtyard in the back. And Hagrid counts the bricks in the wall above a trash can. 3 up, 2 across. He taps the wall 3 times to the point of his umbrella. And, you know, the pink flowery umbrella that can do magic or help him do magic.
Interesting. Yeah. I never saw an umbrella. Well, Mary Poppins. But I never saw an umbrella that could do magic.
Mary Poppins is a witch, confirmed.
Yes. Headcanon. We accept.
So he says to Harry, welcome to Diagon Alley.
And they walk through this archway that expands to be big enough to even let Hagrid through.
Yeah.
And then it contracts instantly, and it's gone, and it's just a wall again. It's just a brick wall as soon as they go through it.
And Harry, he doesn't say, even though your notes say that, it's a thought. He thinks that he wishes he had eight eyes to take in everything around him, which is absolutely fair.
So remember that I've told you, and I said it on the podcast. I apologize for that. When I read it, I see it as a movie in my head. So in my head, Harry's talking to me. And he actually said that to me.
Yeah, that's fair. There's a lot of... I like how he's written in this because he's so juvenile. Because he's so, like, amazed by everything. I mean, fair enough. If I went there, I'd be amazed too. Like, what is this? What does this shop sell? What do they have? What can I buy here? I want everything.
There's shops with all kinds of cauldrons and owls and robes.
And broomsticks.
And broomsticks and wands. And it's like, oh.
I want to buy everything. Can I buy everything?
There's all kinds of different people. There's even a lady upset about the price of dragon liver.
I think was 17 or 18 sickles.
17.
And was it per liver or per ounce
per
or something?
Per ounce.
Yeah.
They're insane.
No. They're mad.
They're mad. Is that?
Yep, that's exactly. I just read it. So don't fight me on this one.
I'm not going to fight you.
You're checking.
I just want to read it.
You're fighting me on this
one. Okay, fine. Whatever.
100%. They're mad. Okay. Don't look for it.
No,
I'm going to keep reading.
No.
I want to prove that I have Ravenclaw material. Go.
I never said you don't. I think you're very intelligent.
They make it to Gringotts after traveling down the street because they have to pick up Harry's money to a snowy white building with bronze doors and a goblin standing guard. Goblins are short, about a foot shorter than 11-year-old Harry, who is already small for his age.
So, yes. Just to interrupt you, a plump woman outside an apothecary's was shaking her head as they passed, saying, "Dragon liver, 17 sickles an ounce? They're mad!"
I says the thing.
You says the thing. You're tall and you know things.
Yeah. Swarthy and clever-faced. Swarthy, that's it.
Swarthy.
Swarthy.
Like Swarley.
Yes. Very
from
long
How I Met Your Mother. Yes. Sorry.
Very long fingers and feet, which is...
A little creepy.
A little bit. And in the movie, don't they have like... Oh, no. In the book, they have black eyes, right? Or is it in the movie? One of them have really creepy eyes. I'm just like, no, thank you.
No, goblins can be a little intimidating.
Yeah. So on the inner silver doors, there's a saying engraved, which elicits an "I told you you'd be crazy to try and rob it" from Hagrid. "Enter stranger, but take heed of what awaits the sin of greed. For those who take but do not earn must pay most dearly in their turn. So if you seek beneath our floors a treasure that was never yours, thief, you have been warned, beware of finding more than treasure there." Which is amazing, by the way, tingles, because that alone is like crazy mysterious and good writing and beautifully poetic. Like, I hate you, JK, but I love you. How dare you do this to me? Because in my book, there's a prophecy as well, but it's not nearly as good as this one.
Yeah. No, I like yours. It's good. So they go with a goblin named Griphook to go to Harry's vault in Vault 713 for Dumbledore. On the way, Harry sees either stalagmites or stalactites and comments how he can never tell them apart. And we get a cheeky response from Hagrid. He's like, "Stalagmites got an M in it.
And don't talk to me right now."
Yes, and don't talk to me right now. So just an FYI, this is totally the Ravenclaw in me. I had to check it out because I forget sometimes. Stalagmites rise up from the ground, whereas stalactites come down from the ceiling.
Yes.
I knew that, actually. I forget every once in a while. But
I do too, but then I look... I know and then forget because it's not something that I use every day. Like, I'm not... That's a stalagmite. I know this. No, it's... I don't live in a cave, so it doesn't happen.
Unfortunately. You don't live in a cave?
I don't.
How sad for you.
I know. My life is terrible. Harry finds out that this is some serious business. They go from this beautiful marbled room full of scary goblins measuring gold and coal-sized rubies.
Down to under London.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's... it's very weird and kind of odd, and it elicits this like forbidden kind of thing, like you don't want to be here alone kind of thing.
And earlier they were talking about how there were dragons, rumors of dragons.
Who guarded the high security vaults.
Yeah, and he actually sees fire coming from the end of one of the big hallways. Mm-hmm. And he looks to check to see if there's but they've already passed it. Because the cart's going ridiculously fast.
And I want to mention that Hagrid says he wished he had a dragon.
He's wished since he was a kid.
Yeah.
I had it in my notes. Yes, you skipped it.
I did skip it.
Okay.
I like to go a little off what your notes off are. Book? Yeah, I just feel like it's a little more, I don't know, entertaining. Using our brains to fill in the gaps. And
hey, it's good. I just have it there in case you can't.
It's helpful. It's helpful. Yes. So, we're going to mention again that Harry needs his key to get to his vault.
Yes.
We haven't mentioned that. We didn't mention it, but he needs his key. And there's the letter that Hagrid has from Dumbledore to a Gringotts employee, I suppose.
Yes.
And another goblin. That's how they start their journey down there. So that's like a little important that you need verification. You can't just say,
I need to get to my vault.
I need to get my vault and my name is Daedalus Diggle. And that's it. Like, your name means anything. Like, yeah, you have to have your key.
Yeah, dude. Who is that? I don't care.
Yeah.
Give me a key.
So they get to Harry's vault first. Do you have the number for the vault?
No, but it's
687 or something.
I believe so.
One of those.
We're going to look it up.
Yes.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Just look it up now and I'll keep going then. So they get there and Griphook opens the door for Harry to give him access to his vault. And it's full of money.
687.
Okay. Heaps of gold galleons, silver sickles, and bronze knuts. Well, so, heaps of, and then
yeah. Yes, and this is where we're told that there's the gold ones are galleons, the silver ones are sickles, the bronze ones are knuts.
Which is what I just
there's
said.
There's 17 sickles to a galleon, and there's 29 knuts to a sickle. And when I looked previously, like a week ago or so, the exchange rate between galleons and British pounds or UK sterling is 1 galleon to 6 sterling or 6 pounds. So that's a pretty big exchange rate. Like, you gotta have a good chunk of muggle money to get wizard money.
Yeah, the exchange rate seems a little wild.
Mm-hmm.
Because a wand, if we use that...
We're not there yet.
Sorry.
Soon. But remember that. We'll get there.
Yeah. So then he gets enough money, or to what Hagrid thinks is enough money for supplies, which ends up paying off. It is just about right.
Yeah. And he actually gets more. He says this should last you for a few years.
Jesus.
That's what he says.
No, I know, but... Money.
Money.
You need the money.
And poor Harry has never had this much money. He's never had any money.
Well, is it in this chapter? I kind of skimmed a little bit to get through a little faster because you're like, hurry up. I've been busy all day. I'm sorry.
Death stare. Anyway, continue.
Did they mention... My thought just left me. It doesn't even matter anymore. I'm sorry.
He did mention that he's like, this is more money than I've ever had. This is more money than Dudley's ever had.
That's the question. Thank you.
You're welcome.
If he mentioned that,
sometimes
he
I
feels,
can read your yeah, mind. It's
that
okay.
He feels that he has more money than probably even the Dursleys. Is
yes.
that it? Okay. I love that.
Yes. And he says, there's no way that the Dursleys could have known that he had this money, or else they would have taken it for themselves, because they're constantly complaining about how much it costs them to keep him.
Which, they don't even feed him.
They barely feed him. They barely clothe him. He wears Dudley's old clothes. For 10 years, almost, he lived in a cupboard. I mean, how much space does this little boy take? He's smaller than average. And he was, for goodness sake, he was cooking their breakfast. Can you tell I don't like them?
Can you tell I don't like them? I did.
I know you don't like them. Okay.
But we see goblin magic. I'm not sure if it's necessarily goblin like active magic or passive magic, but this door is enchanted.
When we get to Vault 713.
Yeah, that, again, I'm not sure if it's him using his magic to open it, if it's a two-way kind of thing, him using his magic and the door is also enchanted, or if the door itself is enchanted to only allow a goblin who knows, like, the right thing, the right pressure. You never know. It's really interesting. It's, like, goblin magic is much more interesting than wizard magic so far. The wizard magic is just put an object and things happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's elaborated on more later, but we're not there yet, so it doesn't matter.
So all he has to do is touch the door, and he says, hey, only goblins can touch this door, or else you get sucked into the vault. And Harry asks him, well, how often do you check the vaults for people? Or, like, how often do you go in there? And Griphook says, oh, about once every 10 years. So, I mean, you'd be dying waiting for someone to find you.
Not necessarily, because wizards can make more gamps, elemental law, whatever. Gomps. It's a weird name.
Elemental laws. I think, you know, it's one
five
of the
five elemental laws.
Yes.
One of them is you can make more food if you have some. So if someone brought
or call it to you.
Yeah.
If you know where it is.
So you can make more food, but, like, that's neither here nor there. It's supposed to elicit that feeling of terror that if you get into a vault you're not supposed to be in, you're going to die.
Yes.
Again, compounding on what I said earlier, that this is, it feels like a place you don't want to be alone.
You know. And, I mean, like, the goblins aren't helping with that.
No. So, they have their money, and then, first things first, what do they end up doing? They buy his books?
So, Hagrid is like, oh, I feel sick. Do you mind if I go to the Leaky Cauldron to get a pick-me-up? And Harry's like, no, that's fine. And Harry goes to Madame Malkin's robes for all occasions while he's doing this. Okay. It's here that Harry meets a young wizard with a bored, drawling voice who reminds him of Dudley.
Huh.
No name given. Mm-hmm. He's just like, this kid reminds me of Dudley. That's never a good thing.
No. So he tells Harry that his father's next door. Buying his books while his mother is down the street looking at wands. And he wants to bully his father into buying him a broom so he can smuggle it into school because first years aren't allowed their own brooms. So, Dudley.
100% Dudley.
Screaming Dudley in my head, and so is Harry.
Mm-hmm.
So you hear about Quidditch for the first time and how this new boy and his dad think that he should make it onto the team because he's so good.
And my response there is, ugh.
Yeah, he's a pompous little rat.
Yeah.
Okay, let's continue. We also hear about a couple of different houses. We hear about Slytherin. The boy wants to get into this one, saying that his whole family has been in it. And Hufflepuff is saying that he'd leave if he were to end up there, which is awful because Hufflepuff is, like, amazing. Loyalty, hard work, fair play. Like, who? What? Why is that bad?
You know who's a Hufflepuff?
Who?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Okay, I thought you were going to say Newt Scamander, and I was going to stare at you very
well. That too. But Dwayne The Rock Johnson is a Hufflepuff. Wouldn't you want to be a Hufflepuff? Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So Hagrid comes by the window holding two ice creams to show that he can't come inside.
And gesturing at Harry about them.
Because he's there with Harry, and they're having a good time. And the boy makes fun of Hagrid. And he says, oh, I've heard he's some servant. And then he calls him a sort of savage.
Which I'm just like, bro, you're about to get slapped up right now. Don't do that. Don't do that. And especially if Harry's like, we're together. He's with me. I'm with him because, like, he's helping me.
And Harry likes him even less after that.
Oh, of course. And then asks him where Harry's parents are. And Harry says they're dead, and he says sorry, and doesn't actually sound sorry, which is another thing about we're about to throw down, you little rat, idiot, blonde kid.
And then this sniveling little kid asks if Harry's parents are, quote-unquote, our kind, meaning a witch and a wizard. And it's like, really? What does this even matter? Is there really a difference between the different kinds of wizards and witches, where they come from? Is there a different level of magic that they can produce based on that? Why are we seeing this difference in an 11-year-old kid?
Prejudice is learned.
Yes, it is.
So, the boy asks what Harry's last name is, his surname. Does Harry leave or does he leave first? I think Harry.
Harry gets done and he takes that as his excuse to leave.
Yeah, good.
Because he doesn't want to talk to this kid anymore.
Yep. So, him and Hagrid go and eat their ice cream, which Harry happens to be chocolate and raspberry with chopped nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, that sounds amazing.
I know, I kind of want one right now.
Yeah, me too.
Or a Knickerbocker Glory. Still hung up on those.
Yeah, we're having one sooner or later.
Okay.
Hopefully sooner. So, Harry asks him about Quidditch and about Slytherin and Hufflepuff and Hagrid.
Wait, are we doing Chinese on Monday?
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
And then Hagrid, you know, sort of makes Harry feel a little bad that he's so ignorant about the wizarding world, which Harry is like, come on, don't make me feel worse.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
Yeah. But he asks him about Quidditch and what Slytherin and Hufflepuff are. And we find out that Quidditch is the wizarding sport. It's played on brooms up in the air. And it's as popular for wizards as soccer is for muggles.
You know that Quidditch... We'll get there.
Well, so, we've said it. You know that Quidditch is a big thing.
Yeah.
If now, in our world, muggles are playing it. Notice how I called them muggles, and I don't include me in that.
No, of course not.
Or Al in that. I'm just saying. And we didn't introduce ourselves. We didn't even say, this is Jen, and this is
but
Al.
Hopefully they know that by now.
This is Jen.
And this is Al.
Okay.
But anyway. So, and that Slytherin and Hufflepuff are two of the four houses in Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm.
Hufflepuffs are considered a lot of duffers. But no, I think Hufflepuffs are great.
I think Hufflepuffs are... severely underrated.
Absolutely.
Everybody needs a Hufflepuff in their life. Because Hufflepuffs are those people who are super accepting and hardworking, and they want you around because they think you're awesome.
Yeah, they're just good people.
They're good peoples.
And then Slytherin is known for churning out dark wizards, which is, I think I mentioned it at some point already, that.
And that's when we find out that Voldemort went to, I know, don't okay, give
French,
me that look.
Okay, French lady, fine.
Went to Hogwarts years ago and was a Slytherin. So, I mean, doesn't that hold up that Slytherins are bad news bears?
Yeah, absolutely. So they proceed to Flourish and Blotts to buy books, which, oh, if we could go there, we would never leave. True, we will. But we're not going to leave then. That's bad. We probably shouldn't go there.
But we're going to go.
But we shouldn't.
But
We're doing it.
They had huge books that were leather bound and tiny little books that were like wrapped in silk. And just, I love the smell of books and I love to hold books. And when I moved away, because I lived in Reno for 10 years, when I moved away, I gave away over 300 books to the local libraries. When I moved back here, I gave away my books again. Why? Because I love books!
Mm-hmm.
I would love Flourish and Blotts.
Yeah.
So, also, Harry has to be pulled away from looking at books to Hex or Jinx Dudley. But we find out then that he can't do magic outside of Hogwarts unless it's under certain dire circumstances.
Yeah. Which makes absolute sense because, again, they're secret.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's don't want to be showing the muggles all the magic.
Yeah, absolutely. So Hagrid stops him from buying a gold cauldron because his list says that he needs a pewter one, because a solid gold cauldron probably costs quite a bit.
But Harry's got the money now.
Yeah, but they get everything he needs. They get the collapsible telescope, the set of scales that are fairly nice, the cauldron that he actually needs.
His basic potion ingredients.
Yeah. And then Hagrid says, oh, well, I have to get you a birthday present, which Harry is like, oh, God, no. But
Harry actually says, you don't have to. And Hagrid's response is, I know I don't have to.
Yeah.
And it's like, Oh, Hagrid.
Hagrid's such a sweetheart. I can't.
So, I love that Hagrid is basically making himself Harry's de facto dad.
He's the only person who's gotten Harry a real gift, and it's two of them.
The cake. And mm-hmm. now?
His owl.
His beautiful snowy owl.
Well, he decided on the owl because toads went out of fashion years ago and he'd been made fun of him because cats make him sneeze.
So Hagrid's allergic to cats.
Which is hilarious because he loves animals.
But that means that Hagrid can't come to my house.
We'll give him meds. They don't have meds like that in the Wizarding World as far as we know.
We'll give him Benadryl. He'll be fine.
He'll be like, crazy muggles. But I'm down for it. It's fine. They get him a beautiful snowy white owl. I want to know why your notes say snowy white, because I think snowy is just white itself.
Well, look.
The white owl.
Leave me alone. I was doing this at work, okay?
Yes. So all that's left is for Harry to get his magic wand, what he's been super excited about, mm-hmm. which makes sense. So off to Ollivander's, the only place that you can go to get a wand per Hagrid, which makes sense because Ollivander's is next level.
Mm-hmm. Keep talking about Ollivander.
Opened in 382 BC.
Isn't that crazy that it's been that the Ollivander's that they've been around that long? That's crazy to me.
Yeah. But wizards have been around since who knows when, and they need somewhere to get their wand, their quality wands.
Mm-hmm.
So, they go in to get his wand, and he says hello all quietly and sneakily because he's hiding in the shadows. Apparently,
he's a little creepy.
That's what Ollivander does: hide in the shadows, sell wands. It's fine.
Yeah, and he's described as an old man with wide, pale eyes.
Yeah, he mentions that Harry has his mother's eyes.
He's the second person to say this now.
And he mentions how he remembers every wand he's ever sold. And tells Harry about his parents' wands. I don't think he says it just then that he remembers every wand that he's ever sold. And I think it happens later.
Right after... Read.
I'm going.
That's fine. So I will say this. Harry's mom's wand is 10 1/4 inches. Swishy. Made of willow. Nice wand for charm work. And the dad's... His dad's was mahogany, 11 inches, pliable, a little more powerful, and excellent for transfiguration. Hey guys, remember all this. And he also says that the wand chooses the wizard, not the other way around.
You are incorrect. He mentions that he remembers every wand he's ever sold far after telling Harry about his parents' wand and after Harry has tried wands.
Mm-mm.
It's right here.
No.
Yes.
No.
100%. I'm telling you right
now. Continue.
I literally just read it, and I am telling you that he doesn't say it then. But you can read it. So, Ollivander stares at Harry's wand and touches it. Or wand.
Well,
scar.
Does it really matter when he said it?
It does, because the flow of things are all messed up.
Oh my gosh. Go ahead.
I'm just saying. Storytelling.
We really are brother and sister, and this is how we talk to each other.
Storytelling sequentially keeps the flow going
properly. Okay, continue.
All I'm saying.
Okay, I'm sorry. Continue.
Effing Ravenclaw. So, Ollivander stares at Harry's scar and touches it, saying he's sorry to say he sold the wand that did it. 13 1/2 inches, you would. He sees Hagrid and mentions his wand, 16 inches rather bendy, which is kind of funny because he also mentions that it got snapped. So, bendy wand getting snapped is kind of funny to me. It's a good mental image.
Yes.
Even though it's kind of sad for Hagrid.
Yes. Well, he says it got snapped in two when Hagrid was expelled.
Yeah. And Hagrid says, yeah, they did, but he still has the pieces. And Ollivander gets stern, saying, you know, do you still use it? You don't still use it, right? And Hagrid replies that he doesn't, but he holds on to his pink flowery umbrella fairly tightly after that.
Yeah.
Which, I wonder, Hagrid.
I just love the visual of this big guy
cowering,
holding a little pink umbrella.
Yeah, but also cowering a bit at Ollivander. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Like, I'm not doing anything I'm not supposed to, I swear.
Yeah. So Harry gets measured from head to toe in every other dimension you could possibly think about.
in between his nostrils, yeah. I think it's
from like a fingertip to his armpit, and then like it's insane. Yeah. And then he realizes that it's not even Ollivander doing it anymore, it's doing it by itself.
Yeah.
Which is great. So Ollivander tells it to stop and then starts handing Harry random wands to try out. Yeah. And most of them he just grabs and doesn't even, like, nothing happens. And he barely grabs them and they're ripped out of his hand.
Yeah, and Ollivander's like, nope, not this one. Uh-uh, yeah. No.
So Maple, Phoenix Feather, 7 inches, a bit whippy. Ebony and Unicorn Hair, 8.5 inches, springy. And a bunch more until we get the Holly and Phoenix Feather, 11 inches, nice and supple.
I want to say this one.
Okay.
Harry took the wand. He felt a sudden warmth in his fingers. He raised the wand above his head, brought it swishing down through the dusty air, and a stream of red and gold sparks shot from the end like a firework, throwing dancing spots of light onto the walls. Hagrid whooped and clapped, and Mr. Ollivander cried, "Oh, bravo! Yes, indeed! Oh, very good!" "Well, well, well, how curious. How very curious."
The curious part is that the phoenix that gave the tail feather in Harry's wand gave off. Jesus.
Whatever.
Okay.
I was reading.
More gave off. Your word precision is insane.
gave off the tail feather for Harry's wand gave off only one other one. Done.
God, that's terrible. The one in you know whose wand. I remember every wand I've ever sold, Mr. Potter. You even have it in your notes. Every single wand. It so happens that the phoenix whose tail feather is in your wand gave another feather, just one other. It is very curious indeed that you should be destined for this wand when its brother gave you that scar. Harry swallowed. Relax, I'm taking a breath. There's a cough drop in my mouth.
Okay.
Yes, 13.5 inches. You, curious indeed how these things happen. The wand chooses the wizard. Remember, I think we must expect great things from you, Mr. Potter. After all, he who must not be named did great things. Terrible, yes, but great.
That's a little creepy.
Yeah.
Like, he just gives off the creepster vibe.
Yeah, he does, but he's a good guy. He... okay, he's, like, chaotic neutral.
That's what I was about to say! High five.
So later, while having a hamburger with Hagrid, Harry confesses he's worried, and Hagrid does the only thing he can. He tells him he'll be okay. I mean, it's Hogwarts. It's a school.
Yeah.
It's not like you're not going to be tested to see if you're Wizard Supreme Mugwump
on day one.
Yeah, exactly. You have to train. You have to learn.
Yeah, and he says, you know, he knows that it's hard to be singled out, but Harry will figure it out, and he's going to have an amazing time at Hogwarts. He said that he did, and he still does. And I'm like, Hagrid, I love you. It's amazing. You can relate to him on a level that other people can't. And you make him feel better just by being you. How awesome is Hagrid?
I love Hagrid.
Yes.
Everyone thinks I'm special, he said at last. All those people in the Leaky Cauldron, Professor Quirrell, Mr. Ollivander. But I don't know anything about magic at all. How can they expect great things? I'm famous, and I can't even remember what I'm famous for. I don't know what happened when the night my parents died. Hagrid gives Harry his ticket to get to Hogwarts. The train will be leaving on the 1st of September from King's Cross Station. And that's the end of Harry's best birthday ever.
I love that he got to spend his birthday with Hagrid.
Because Hagrid, like, you get the feel that Hagrid cares so deeply about Harry. Mm-hmm. Like, Hagrid loves Harry.
Hagrid really does love Harry.
Yeah. I mean, you don't necessarily get that feel yet, but mm-hmm. you can kind of hone in on that. You kind of feel it.
Yeah, you can tell that for Hagrid, this wasn't just some chore that Dumbledore gave him to do. Like, he probably volunteered for it. He probably wanted to be the person to introduce Harry to the wizarding world on a more in-depth level. He didn't realize he was going to have to do a full introduction, but he wanted to be that steward to this new world.
Or back to this world.
Yes.
So that's the end. There's so much information to go over in this. There's the people mentioned the Leaky Cauldron that Harry ended up mentioning at the end. Mm-hmm. There's all the shops. There's a landmark that we now have,
mm-hmm.
which is Diagon Alley, which plays a big role in the rest of the books.
And all of the shops that are there.
Yeah. All of the things mentioned are so important. And then none of them are really left to the wayside. I mean, kind of astrology is left to the wayside later, but okay, fine, whatever. It's an interesting subject, but
yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot that went on in this chapter, and we talked about as much as we could. If there's anything that you feel that we left out, if there's anything that you feel we would have spent more time on, please let us know, and we'll totally mention it in our next podcast or mm-hmm. the one after that, because we want to make sure that we cover everything you want to hear.
Yeah. All I can say is that things only get way more interesting from this point on. This was just the beginning of world building, character introduction, and just a sort of, there's a underlying suspense that's starting to build. Harry going to Hogwarts.
Well,
it's the start of his destiny.
Oh, know? Yeah. And he's met all of these new people. He's seen all of these new things. He's touched things. He's smelled things. He's experienced this entirely new world. And then he has to go back to the Dursleys.
Well, end me now.
Because this is July 31st. His birthday is July 31st. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't leave to go to Hogwarts until September 1st. So he has to spend an entire month with these god-awful people.
All I'm going to say is, where did August go in the movie?
We blinked and it was gone.
Okay.
That's what happened.
Okay.
Yes, it was magic.
Okay.
It was magic. And on that note, we're going to let you go because it was magic.
Yeah. All about magic.
Dun, 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 dun.